There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
The older I get, the less I know, or the more sure I am that I don't know half the stuff that I need to know just to conduct myself in the world today. I've had a number of people within the last 24 hours who are going through major things. You know, I have a friend whose grandchild is in the hospital. Those are like really major kinds of things. And you want to be available to people, and they throw terms at you. The medical community throws terms at people which we have no possibility of understanding. So then we inevitably go to the internet and we get some cockamamie explanation. And then we don't know what to do. We don't want to talk to our friend. They don't want to talk to us. It's so crazy. That was one thing. I got another friend who's now going through one of these bank nightmares where, oh, your card is, compromised. We're going to shut down your account. What do you mean you're going to shut down my account? How am I supposed to, put gas in my car and get to work? They don't really care, right? So I got all these friends going through these kinds of life happenings. And I'm worried about the most inconsequential things. It makes you sit up and take notice, that's for sure. You know, today's not my turn, but I'll have my turn. And the more let me put it to you this way. The more modernized the world becomes, the less I understand it. And that's the truth. I will have a guest later on in the program, Ellen Karras, a comedian, something I very seldom do, but she is hilarious. She's a conservative. She's out of New York, and she's going to be down here at the Black Box in Boca Raton, and I think everybody should go see her. So I told her to call into the show. We were just, chatting. Because everybody could use a laugh. This headline I was listening to at the top of the hour. Now, mind you, I don't listen to the news at the top of the hour generally. I'm getting ready to go on. I say my prayers. I do my stuff. I have a routine. But I was listening, and they said that I want to say it the way they said it because it was really, I just hate the media. And I'm part of it. That's really rough. They said the slim majority that Republicans now have in the House of Representatives is about to get even slimmer and more narrowed because Ken Buck has announced he's going to retire. Not next month, not at the end of his term, next week. Okay? Next week. And he goes on, oh, it's been an honor to serve the people of Colorado's 4th District for the past 9 years. I want to thank them. This guy was running for the speaker's seat just a couple of months ago. And now he's retiring suddenly next week. They're all liars. That's what it is. I don't believe any of them. I don't know. I don't know why he's retiring. But mark my words, we will find out, and it's not going to be a pretty story. It's just not. He's not going home to be with his family in Colorado. They all say that, right? But then they're on Fox. They get a show. They never leave Washington. They become lobbyists or whatever they do. How do you just decide to retire in the middle of an election year, a presidential election year, mind you? This is a guy who has broken with his party a number of times. So I don't even know, is he a conservative? Is he a this? Who knows? But that's very untimely. If I was a person living in that 4th district of Colorado, I'd be ticked off. I'm ticked off and I don't live there. Then I'm ticked off because I'm watching this outtakes, because I'm not in front of a TV set, so I'm watching outtakes on my phone of this testimony that's going on in the House where the special prosecutor, special counsel, Robert Hur, is talking about this report that he put out there that he says represents the complete and total exoneration of President Biden. What? What? That's not what the report says. The report is not an exoneration. It doesn't say that in his report, and he talked about that in his opening remarks, because it was, what's the little round guy? Jerry Nadler, right? Jerry Nadler, right away. Oh, you know, this
report totally exonerates President Biden.
No, it didn't. And then Pamira Jaipal, another Democrat, goes, oh, yeah, this report clears him of everything. And so the special counsel, Robert Hur, is arguing with her and Jerry Nadler and saying, no, that is not what I said. I'm going to go over it word by word with you if that's what you want. But the word exoneration doesn't appear anywhere in the report. We did not exonerate him. He testified for a couple of hours today about the report. And now the report did not recommend charges against President Biden, even though it states quite clearly that he mishandled classified materials. What it does also say quite frequently in this report, more than once, about four times that I counted, it says that the president has lapses in memory, and that he is a sympathetic elderly person who he didn't believe you could get a jury to find guilty of anything except being really old. And then the Democrats were bending over backwards, trying to say that this is very different than the Donald Trump documents case, which will be taking place. That trial will be taking place down here with Judge Cannon, who's actually a conservative, in Miami. And the two cases are not the same. First and foremost, Donald Trump was president when he was handling documents. Joe Biden was a senator and a VP, but he doesn't get presidential immunity. Only the president gets that. Although nowadays, president don't get that either. President doesn't seem to have a right to counsel. They just have turned the whole legal system, the whole Department of Justice, completely upside down. And I'm just very sad. Today's one of my sad days. Finished my bullet points, my talking points for people to have a conversation with their family members about why you support Donald Trump and why they should support Donald Trump. And I keep looking it over, and it just feels incomplete. And I feel so pressured because I told everybody, oh, I'll do it in 3 days, 4 days, a week, 2 weeks. I want to get it right. So I'm still laboring on it. It's finished, but I'm not satisfied. And I'm not a perfectionist. I'm really not. I want something that's good and easy to use. And what I found with the final copy I looked at this morning, it's not that easy to use. You're going to have to be willing to do a lot more research of your own. And that wasn't my promise. My promise was I would give you bullet points, talking points, and you could go in there and win the fight. So that's what I'm going to deliver. Whether I deliver tonight or tomorrow or Friday, it is really irrelevant. It's just got to be right. So I'll tell you, that's one of those things I'm obsessing about it, right? And then I hear this one's got a grandchild in the hospital. This one can't access their funds. You know, my issues are self-inflicted and they're really not as big a deal as I'd like to make them out to be. What I need to do is calm myself down, do the best that I can do at any given moment. I mean, people think, I know, I hear it all the time. What a cool job. You just work for an hour, right? No. I don't just work for an hour. It takes hours to be prepared to do an hour. It takes hours to complete the kind of critical thinking, you know, tasks that I set out for myself every single day. And not just in terms of my radio show, not just in terms of a book, but in terms of the other things that are going on in my life. I actually have a church that we run. I have a family that I'm the matriarch of. And all of that is time consuming. And for the most part, I'm a bit of a procrastinator, that's true, but I'm also just overwhelmed. So I've got to take a deep breath. I did finally come to the conclusion that I'm going to go to Puerto Rico for a couple of days because I got to finish taking care of some business for Papa. And I keep putting it off because, you know, I just don't have time and I just have to get this done and I have to get that done. And then I finally said, well, wait a second. We don't know how long he has or I have. So I need to get things done now. And here's what sweetened the deal for me. My daughter says, I'll go and we'll take the kids. Are you serious? 4 days on the beach with my grandsons? Nothing else is going to matter more. Of that, I can assure you. So that's, you know, that's what I woke up to this morning. A lot of people going through a lot of stuff. And the idea that we had Robert Herr literally taking so much heat. People asking him, you know, did you exonerate the press? And him repeatedly saying, no, that's not what the report says. Like, is Jerry Nadler just stuck on stupid? Or does he think if he says it often enough and the press covers it the way they're covering it sympathetically towards Joe Biden, that the whole world is going to believe that nonsense? No. We don't believe it. We don't believe much. Don't forget to download the 850 WFTL app. If you have it on your phone or you have it on your laptop, you can listen to the No Restraint podcast or the Unidentified Alien podcast or any of our podcasts that you fancy. And you could participate in all our contests. And more importantly, if you missed any part of my show, you can listen to it right on your phone. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
But I could use a laugh, and I'm sure hoping that Ellen Karras is able to give me a laugh. Because if you're reading the same kinds of publications that I'm reading, and it really doesn't matter if you think they're conservative publications or liberal publications, or they claim to be, fair publications, the odds are everybody is giving you their opinion. I just can't find a lot of unbiased news reportage. I just can't. And even when I find like an investigative journalist who's doing what I think is a pretty good job or a talk show host who does a pretty good job, the next thing I know is that hatred for either Donald Trump and the MAGA people or the hatred for the left and the woke culture just overtakes any faith I have in it being a fair representation. That's important. If we can't count on the information we're being given, well then What are we going to believe? We're not going to believe anything is really what it boils down to. And then I'm looking at one of the headlines today, which was at least fairly honest, but it was also just half the story. They like to just throw out part of the story and not give you the rest of the story. So the headline was "Inflation Back Higher." No kidding. We never said that inflation had disappeared, and we never believed that inflation was really better. We just said it doesn't matter. The CPI right now, which is a pretty broad measure of goods and service costs, it went up 0.4% for the month and 3.2% from a year ago. So this is what everybody was expecting. This is pretty much what you're experiencing. Because with a 2.3% increase in energy costs, now mind you, here in Florida, we run air conditioners. Up north, they got heating expenses. Food costs, whether they stayed flat or not, we have to look at what are people paying for rent and for their homeowners insurance and things of that nature, the expenses for their shelter. Because all those things may not be directly reflected in the CPI, but they're real to us. So when the Federal Reserve says, well, we're just going to wait the course and, you know, wait at least until the summer before we lower the interest rates and blah, 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 you know, and we're getting good job numbers. First and foremost, I wish everybody would stop saying that, because what we're getting is we're getting a reversion, or we're getting back to the kind of good job numbers that we had prior to COVID. They're not better. They're just not as bad as they were. I know a lot of people who never went back to their offices. They're still either working from home, they started their own businesses, or they retired. I can't tell you how many of my friends who are younger than me are officially retired. I have one that just retired. She was a New York City principal, school principal. After a career in teaching and coaching and all this other stuff, she could have worked another 10 years, but it became so intolerable that she retired. And I mean, she's pretty happy about it, too. I don't blame her. But she still has to go to the supermarket, and she still has to pay her rent, and she still has to have property insurance, and she still has to have car insurance. And so what looked like no problem, now you got to think about things before you spend money. I was at one of my favorite stores, Big Lots. Why? Because they have a lot of affordably priced things that maybe you wouldn't get at the grocery store, because you know that the expense is not really commensurate to the nutrition or anything else. Like my husband likes these candy popcorn things. I'm not a nutritionist, and when my nutritionist hears about this, she's going to blow a gasket. But he likes this popcorn that comes in flavors, like, you know, Nutter Butter or Oreo, and it's kind of gross. But he likes that. If you can find it at a Publix or a Winn-Dixie, it's like $5 a bag. No, not doing it. Not going to pay that kind of money for something that I know is really no good for me or him. But if I go into Big Lots, they got all the flavors and even some I never heard of. And it's $1.50, $2 less. So I do a lot of shopping at Big Lots for extras. But even in there, I'm looking at these people, they're struggling. They're struggling with things they need. You know, you have to have dishwashing soap. You have to have, toilet bowl cleaner. These are things, well, I think you have to have them. Some people use vinegar and stuff like that, but I like a Lysol toilet bowl cleaner, and you got to buy it. And so I go to these Big Lots stores, and I'm able to get these things a little bit less expensive because inflation is smacking me in the face. And if it's smacking me in the face, I know it's got to be doing that to families. especially families with multiple children. I can't even wrap my mind around how do you feed a family of four with inflation at this level that it is now. Maybe it's not as high as it was 2 years ago, but it's still too high. You know, if all you can get is a gallon of milk, a loaf of white bread, a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly, and some cheap sugar-ridden cereal, your kids aren't going to do very well. Not for very long. Anyway, let me take a break. This is halfway through this hour, and I have a special guest coming up in the next segment of the show. And my hope is I literally, like, laid it on thick. I told her she has to make me laugh out loud. So if you want to at least have a little bit of a respite, although she's an arch conservative and living in New York, so I'm sure she's got some stories to tell, stay right where you are. I'll be right back. Welcome back. Look, I had a brief exchange with an old friend, Ellen Karras, a comedian, lives in New York City, and found out she was coming down here to do a show at the Black Box Theater, which I think is in Boca. Ellen, is that in Boca?
Yes, on Glades.
Okay.
Glades Road, 8221 Glades Road.
All right. And all I kept thinking is, you know, the last time you and I talked was pre-COVID. So you've been through the war in New York.
And then some. Thank you, by the way, for the plug. I know I'm supposed to make everybody laugh. I just want you to know I have flop sweat before I even start. But yes, it's changed dramatically. I've lived in New York my entire life, although I have to tell you that if I told my husband I want to move to Florida, he'd be packing our bags and we'd be already shopping at Publix.
Mm-hmm.
But everything has changed here. You can smoke weed on the street. There's a lot of stores that are empty. We have a lot of looting, as you know, as you might, whatever you see is the truth. Although our mayor, we have a new mayor, you know, Mayor Adams, he's amazing. He's trying to crack down on the looting. He actually said you could still loot, but now when you loot, you have to bring a reusable bag from Trader Joe's because, you know, the earth and everything. We want to be green when we loot and all. It's just incredible what's going on. Yeah, the weed smell. I never thought that anything would kill the smell of the urine, but weed has actually done that. And now I get a contact high when I go to church. So it's all working out, Joyce. All working out. That's what you're missing up here.
I don't feel like I'm missing it at all. You know, we have a mutual friend, my friend Sid Rosenberg. And every time I talk to him, I go, are you ready to come back yet? And he goes, but it's New York. And I go, yeah. And your point is, it's just unbearable. When I think of all the people who got drummed out of their businesses, all of my friends who retired from the public schools because they wouldn't take the shot, or retired from the transit police because they wouldn't take the shot. It was a real nightmare up there.
Oh, I mean, the whole vaccine, and you had to show the card, and everybody was, it was like, I mean, so militant. And let me tell you, de Blasio loved it. This was his dream. He couldn't have dreamed of anything of like this happening, because he got to have control and tell people what to do and how to behave and how to act. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you, after a few months, I got really, like, I couldn't take it anymore, and I called City Hall, and I actually got de Blasio on the phone. He's like, who is this? I said, my name is Ellen Karras. I've lived in New York City my entire life. I'm a woman of Greek descent. And let me tell you something. I haven't had a bikini wax in 5 months. So you want to see a protest? I'll show you a protest. I'll get all my Greek, Italian, and Spanish girlfriends to come down there, and we'll show you terrorism like you've never seen before. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the guy had a personality of a pimple. So, you know,
but
he didn't think it was funny. But
he wasn't a racist, though. That we were assured of. He wasn't a racist because he had the black gay wife, which to this day I still haven't figured out.
Not anymore. Not anymore. He's a man about town. Could you imagine dating him? Oh, my gosh. What's his Match.com profile? Never smiles. Believes in communism. That must be great.
Yeah, really, for sure. So tell me, like, obviously, there are very few comics out there that have been able to use their heritage to the same extent that you have and just crack people up. I mean, you're a Greek American. If we have to use these hyphenated names, that's how you would describe yourself, right?
Oh, yes. And I'm very proud of it. And I grew up in a Greek neighborhood. I went to Greek American parochial school for 8 years. I'm still friends with the kids, the people that I went to kindergarten with. Mm-hmm. I'm very involved in my church. I'm a Sunday school teacher, which is crazy because I do comedy on a Saturday night, and then I use some salty language, and the next thing you know, I'm singing Jesus songs to the kids in the morning. Mm-hmm. I even wrote a children's book about being a godparent in the Orthodox Christian faith. I'm very immersed in my culture, and I'm all for that. That's great. I mean, no one's saying we got to be all plain vanilla, but I am a product of immigrants. All my grandparents came from Greece and Cyprus, but they came through a process, Joyce. I mean, this is like, it's like the price is right. Come on down. You'll get a free this. You'll get a free that. There's nothing. And God forbid you say that some of these people are committing crimes. Because, you know, what you're talking about the media today, and it's like we're all ists, right? Everything, you're a racist, you're this is, you're that is. Everything's an is. They just right away try to label you. It's like, don't tell me that. My grandparents are Greek. They all spoke with an accent. I know the story, but that's not how this is supposed to be. So, I'm really proud. As a matter of fact, a lot of Greeks have moved down to South Florida. Lots.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. We have a Greek festival about a month ago, and it's the best eating in town for a few days up there in Palm Beach County. I can get as much souvlaki as I want.
Yeah, food we're good at. eating and having fun we're very good at.
Yeah. So you're still doing stand-up in New York? Because they must have shut down all those clubs during COVID. You weren't even allowed to eat in a restaurant.
So I have to tell you, it was like a deer in a headlight. You didn't know what you were going to do. And, you know, like myself, like a lot of comics, you wind up making videos. You're just making videos of yourself walking just to have some content. But I will say there was one little silver lining, although, you know, I certainly, COVID was horrible and I wish we never had it, was I wound up doing a lot of shows online, like virtual shows. So I would get hired by corporates or, you know, when Christmas rolled around, a lot over the holidays, a lot of companies would have holiday parties, and because they couldn't, but they wanted to do something, so I get hired for a virtual show. So that, you know, so that was good. But I was one of these comics, like wherever I could do comedy, if it was outside or a party, like I did it. I didn't care. I wasn't like, no, I'm going to wear a mask. And I was so, you know what, Joyce? After like 2 months, I was done. Like by the time May rolled around, I'm like, I'm done with this. I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm. No,
and people
I agree.
Still here in New York are walking around with masks. It's amazing. And they all live in my building.
And they drive around in their car all by themselves with a mask on. And I just, you know, I think, please tell me you don't vote because you're just too stupid.
They're brainwashed. It's really scary. And, you know, I'm sure you experience this. I experience this. I have relatives and friends that I love that are intelligent, that are hardworking and all this. And they just get sucked into this vortex. And whether it's they only watch one thing, they only think a certain way. I mean, you know, this whole thing with the vaccine, which, you know, I went and got my 12th, I went and got my 12th vaccination this week, and it's fine. They're testing it on Cocker Spaniels, and now, you know, when I pee, I lift my left leg. But other than that, it's safe and effective, according to the CDC. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. But it's hard to talk to people like this. They don't want to hear it. And they get sucked into, like, a Joe Scarborough or Anderson Cooper or... It's sad. It really is sad.
I have two kids, one in L.A. and one in San Francisco of our kids. And you can't have a conversation with them. I mean, and my son, who's been, you know, with Harvey Levin on TMZ for the last couple of years, you know, they literally did the TMZ show every night from their houses. And he sat on his toilet to do the show, which I found rather humorous because he is funny. But I'm watching this and I'm thinking to myself, how does this sit? I mean, how do you rationalize, you know, living your lives this way? It's just, you can't talk about it with them, though. God forbid, if I say Donald Trump's name, it's like the end of we start a world war.
Well, people go, insurrectionists. Right. Like, again, they are brainwashed with these one-word responses, these reflexes. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the State of the Union the other day. Ugh. I mean, there he is up there, you know, jacked up on Ritalin, sitting there. There's so many things to talk about with that, but I'll just focus on taxes because I don't know if you remember, but I used to be a CPA in my former life.
Right.
So before I gave up that job to do stand-up comedy and become an actress, because apparently I hate money. But anyway, he's up there, and he's talking about taxes and the rich, you know, right out of the Obama playbook, you know, the rich have to pay their fair share, and you know, again, we're back to this again and raise corporate taxes. Meanwhile, his son is indicted for tax evasion.
Right.
This guy has set up so many shell corporations, him and his wife, and his speaking engagements and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, the colossal gall. I can't get over it. It blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, Democrats can do it better than anyone. That's the truth. So, tell us a little bit about what tomorrow is. It's you at the Black Box on Glades Road in Boca Raton. How do people get tickets?
So it's actually Thursday, March 14th,
Thursday.
7:30 show. You can go to Boca Black Box, BOCABLACKBOX.com. And I'm actually right on the front page there on the website, or you just type in my name, Ellen Karras, ELLENKARAS. And tickets are $33, and it's going to be a great show. And actually, I have a friend of mine who happens to be down there, Eric Tartaglione. He's very funny. He's going to open up for me. We're going to have a great time, and it's like loosey-goosey. I say it as I see it. You know, I'm New York, I'm Greek, I'm tiny, and that's it. No one's stopping me. I'm a fun size.
She's fun size in leather. She's a piece of work. You're going to enjoy this show very much. We got to talk. You know, I hope I can get up there, but if I can't, we got to talk because there's just too much going on. And I hear now you're a big podcaster, so I want to be a guest on your show.
I would be absolutely honored. Yep, every week, sweet and salty with Ellen Karras, because that's what I am.
Yes, you are. Take care, Ellen. Hope I get to see you Thursday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joyce. That would be a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. You take care. Oh, yeah. She is so funny. Trust me. I mean, I'm not big on female comedians, as you know. I don't find a lot of them funny because they're so self-deprecating, and she's not like that. She is gutsy and funny, and I can use a laugh. I usually go into the jails on Thursday night, but I may just have to, you know, send somebody else in and get up there because I don't know about the rest of you, but I need a laugh. You look at the headlines and you think to yourself, I can't go on much longer like this. Parents are trying to figure out what gender their children are. We got Supreme Court justices who cannot define what a woman is. That's too stupid. I don't care what anybody else says. All right, let me take a break. Don't forget, coming up after me is Eric Erickson, Joe Pags, the Overnight Guys, and then, of course, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Jen and Bill will be back with the South Florida Morning Show, followed by Brian Kilmeade, followed by Dan Bongino, followed by me. It's a pretty good lineup, don't you think? All right, stay right where you are. I will be right back. Just don't know. You just don't know. The Trump campaign now, of course, is under the microscope, right? Everybody is second-guessing, and where are the rallies? Is it too poor to hold rallies? Is his expenses with the legal bills too much? Did he meet with Musk because he needs money? I mean, why don't you guys all just watch and wait? Because the way I understand it, and I don't have any insight into this, except that I have somebody who happens to be fairly close to some of the family of the former president. And they said that what he met with Musk about was a business deal. And I find that totally believable. You know, if he was smart, he would sell Truth Social to Musk because it's really perfect to blend that and X or Twitter or whatever we call these platforms. Now, I don't know if you can do that because of all these antitrust problems, but they seem to violate antitrust legislation all the time. I can tell you that certainly in media, you see these corporations taking over print and television and radio and billboards. I mean, they don't seem to come down too hard on them, unless, of course, they happen to be conservatives. But Musk owns SpaceX. He owns Tesla. And he owns the networking site X. So it would make perfect sense if they had some mutual businesses, or if the president sold my X, sold the Truth Social to X. Makes perfect sense to me. Because X's whole reason for existing, or him buying it from Dorsey and changing Twitter to X, was because he didn't like the idea of all the censorship that was going on against conservatives. Now, I don't think that Musk is a conservative. I think he's probably leans more to the right than he does to the left, but I don't think he's a big-time conservative. I really don't. However, I think the one thing that he agrees with is freedom of speech shall not be infringed upon. And when that was happening, he moved in. So the media company, which Trump owns, the media company of Donald Trump owns Truth Social. And they've been, you know, in the middle of a merger process for a long, long time. When the Washington Post asked him about would he buy Truth Social, was that what he was talking about? He said, I have never been to Mar-a-Lago. Now, that's not true. But do you see how interesting it is when you have real, competent, successful business people? They don't get their business out there until after it's business, with the rare exception of a Donald Trump who doesn't care. He announces a deal before it's a deal. Donald Trump has never been on X because he wanted to maintain the value of his Truth Social site. And he watches it very carefully, and he is always trying to promote it. He tells people that you should break news on that platform. You should broadcast, you know, everything on that platform. And listen, I have a Truth Social account. I don't use any of them anymore because it's just too much. I haven't got enough time to, I don't get enough sleep, never mind going back to the days. I remember when I used to get on Twitter at the beginning of a debate, and I'd be on that sucker for like 2.5-3 hours, just bum, following, and I don't have time anymore. Or at least I don't have the desire, and it's not a novelty anymore. Last year at this time, Truth Social didn't look like it was going to, you know, amount to much. I think that's about when he brought in Pompeo. Was it Pompeo? Yeah, I think it was. No, it was the other congressman. Oh, all of a sudden, I've forgotten his name. I can see his face. But, you know, when you look at how determined Donald Trump was to put together an alternative to Twitter at the time, which had been just destructive to his campaign, he stuck with it. He always does. He knows how to make something successful. So we'll see. You know, I do know that even the wealthiest people in the world can't come up with $500 million, you know, overnight. Not even Jeff Bezos or Musk or Donald Trump just happens to have $500 million laying around. That we can be quite certain. Maybe Bezos, but probably not. So there's been a lot of filings in the last couple of days to buy some more time for the president to get the funds that he needs, or at least to reduce the amount of money that he's going to be required to put up. He's got assets, most of them real estate, that are valued over $50 million apiece. And that's according to a filing he made with the government a year ago. Almost a year ago. It wasn't during the summer. And he's got a lot of other properties that aren't that valuable, but he's made no moves. I have seen no indication. I watch the business pages of all the major publications all the time. He hasn't sold or put anything on the market. So we'll see. But I'm not worried about him coming up with the money. I'm really not. But I think maybe if Musk were smart, he would buy Truth Social and then just put the two together, have a powerhouse, give us some alternatives. So I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if it be his will and he delays his coming. Remember, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And then, of course, I always tell you, may God bless you, may God bless Israel, and may God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow at 3.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.